We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ. So let us approach with confidence the throne of grace and mercy. There was a time in my life when I really enjoyed getting mail, but not since I've been a pastor. I get a pile about this big every day, and most of it goes in the recycle bin, much of it unopened, offers for things. I often get promotions, and they say, your parishioners need to have these. And we get a lot of pens. For some reason, they think we should give out pens to you. We don't do that very often. But I got one that was really intriguing, and I did not buy it, but it had a really interesting thing on the pen. It was one of these promotions. I have to tell you, I got a promotion in more ways than one with this pen. I opened it, and it said, can you imagine your parishioners having one of these? And what it said on it was, Father Gary L. Zur, Archbishop of Kaiser. I wish I'd bought one for everyone. That would have been so funny. Bishop wouldn't have liked it, though, I don't think. I should have sent it to him and said, look what happened to me. But it brings up a good question, though. Who is the pastor of Kaiser? Thank you. Jesus. That was a trick question, but you saw right through me. Jesus is the pastor of St. Ed's. And then the bishop is actually received that authority and is actually the pastor of each parish in the diocese. And because he can't be in every place, he appointed priests. But, a priest does not exist in a vacuum. I do not have authority of myself. I'm not here as a lone ranger or on my own. Every priest in the world, whether they're religious or diocesan, all have a bishop or a superior whom they represent. There's no such thing as an independent priest. It may look like it sometimes, but that's not the case. And so the bishop has given me some of his authority. I don't have the ability to, for example, to ordain someone. I cannot do the sacrament of confirmation except at the Easter Vigil and in danger of death, and I've done that several times. And so you have the idea that Christ has ordained us for service. We all share a common priesthood of all believers. This is what we hear in our baptism. If you've ever been to a baptism, we have two baptisms after Mass today, after the Spanish Mass. And one of the things we say is, as Jesus was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you also live these baptismal promises as priest, prophet, and king. So we all share a common priesthood of all believers. This is our great dignity as Christians that are baptized. The ordained priesthood is different in kind, and it exists in order to serve you. If I don't have a way of serving as a priest, there's no reason for me to be one. I didn't get ordained for myself. And it sums it up. This reading is always read on Holy Thursday. And our Lord, in John's Gospel, the disciples are arguing about who's first, and he says, you must serve the rest in order to lead. One of the, there are many different garments that the priest wears when he comes out. I thought I'd explain them a little bit, how they connect with us. The first garment that the priest puts on is the alb. You see, our servers are also wearing them, although sometimes they don't fit as well as mine does. My first time out on my first Mass here at St. Ed's, one of the servers had an alb on that came up just to his knees. I called it the biggest high water I'd seen since I left Tillamook, you know. But anyway, an alb is a sign of our baptism. It means we're praying for purity of life, that we are washed clean by the blood of Christ. And so when a person goes into the baptismal font on the Easter Vigil, they wear brown, and when they come out, they change into a white garment. A baby wears a white garment when they're baptized, or we give them one after baptism. So all of us, as baptized Christians, are entitled to wear an alb. It's not just for priests. Some parishes actually have all of their, the ones helping with communion and the lectors, wear alves. I'm not planning to do that, but there are some advantages to it in that there's no need for a fashion parade, you know. It makes everything much simpler. I was in my home parish. I prayed about being a lector. I had been one in high school, and I thought about doing it, but at that time, the head lector, he was a real estate agent, which is neither here nor there, but for some reason, I never saw the same sport coat twice. The man must have had 200 or 300 sport coats. And I thought, how can I lecture when I've only got one sport coat? And Al would have taken care of that. I finally decided, I don't care if they see the same sport coat every time I lecture. When the priest put his alb on, he said a prayer, which I forgot to bring up here, and I want to pray it with you. This is what the priest used to say. Make me white, O Lord, and cleanse my heart, that being made white by the blood of the Lamb, I may deserve an eternal reward. Repeat after me. Make me white, O Lord, and cleanse my heart, that being made white by the blood of the Lamb, I may deserve an eternal reward. So it is our baptism that washes us clean. And if we have been baptized and we fall into serious sin, we can go to confession, and this has the effect of rewashing us in baptism. And this is why a priest is ordained to bring the sacraments to you. The next garment that I want to talk about is the stole. Some are worn on the inside, and some are worn on the outside. I wore an outside one today so I could talk about it. The stole is very precious to me. When I put it on, I usually kiss it, and I kiss it when I take it off, because it took me a long time to get it. It's like your wedding ring. And but you know, it's not just something that priests wear. Most Protestant ministers wear a stole, and many wear an alb as well. And in fact, every rabbi I've ever seen also has one when they're operating in their ministry. And it's a symbol of ordained ministry everywhere. And for Christians, when we wear this, it's a symbol of spiritual authority, and it means I put on the yoke of Christ. You know, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm still looking for that part of my ministry. But he does promise to carry the load with us, and he's yoked right next to me, pulling along. And so it's the yoke of Christ that we put on. Wouldn't it be great if we all had one of these to put on? I'm taking on your yoke today, Lord. And so there's a prayer that goes with that also. And it's, restore me, O Lord, to the state of immortality that I lost through the sin of my first parents. And although I am unworthy to approach your sacred mysteries, may I nevertheless enter into eternal joy. So it's a prayer of humility. There's two really obscure garments that we don't wear very often anymore. I thought I'd see if anybody knows what they are. One is an amice and the other is a maniple. And if you came last night, no fair. Who can tell me what an amice is? Anybody know? Gosh, I had several people last night that knew. An amice, you still see some priests wear this today. It covers up the shirt that the priest is wearing. But most albs do that now, so I don't need to wear one. It's a rectangular piece of cloth with four strings attached to each corner. It's the most confusing and complicated thing to put on the first time you wear it. You put it over the shoulders and then wrap it and tie it in the back, I believe. I've worn one about two or three times. It has a mystical significance, though, and in some ways it'd be good to remember that significance, even though I don't wear one and you obviously don't wear one. And what it means is, help me, Lord, to put on the spiritual helmet of salvation so that I may be able to go out and do battle with the enemy. And so this reminds us that at our baptism, we, or those who brought us to baptism as children, said our baptismal promises, and we renounce Satan and promise not to follow him. And so we need those armor of salvation in order to make us be able to effectively do battle. Place, O Lord, on my head the helmet of salvation so I may resist the assault of the devil. We're going to say that one together. Repeat after me. Place, O Lord,
on my head
the helmet of salvation,
so that I may resist the assaults of the devil.
Then I have the maniple. Anybody know what a maniple is besides Karen?
It went on the arm.
It was, some of you will remember this. You still see this in the Tridentine, right? I've never worn this. It's a cloth that fits over the left arm. I can't imagine how I would celebrate Mass with a cloth on my left arm. But it's held together with a chain. But in the early church, this was worn. The priests, especially in the Latin countries, towards the Mediterranean Sea, it gets very hot in the summer in Rome, for example. And so the priest needed this to, you know, wipe his face off because he was wearing all these garments for the love of the people. I need one in Kaiser in the summer. Maybe I should get me a maniple next summer to help me through the hot summer. We don't have our air conditioner. But it has a chain, and the chain took on a significance. It meant, O Lord, you have chained, you allowed your arms to be chained at the scourging of the temple for love of me. And so therefore, I will not complain when I am in distress. And so it had that significance. It also symbolizes the tears that our Lord shed for our salvation. It reminds us of the first reading, who Jesus, because he bore our sins, set us all free. He is the one who saved us through his tears. It reminds us that when I cry and I have my tears, our Lord weeps with me. He loves me. He is catching those tears. And so even though I don't wear this garment, whenever we see something like this, it reminds us of the tears of God. And the prayer that went with that one said, may I deserve, O Lord, to bear the maniple of weeping and sorrow in order that I may joyfully reap with you the reward of my labors. The last garment is one that you all know about, and that's the chasuble. Anybody know what the word chasuble means or what it refers to? I've had a few that understood this. It means a little tent or a little house. You know, and it's very significant because Jesus lives in a little house in the tabernacle here, so to speak. And in the Old Testament, the presence of God moved through the Sinai Desert under a tent. That's a symbol of the Eucharist. And the little house at Nazareth where Jesus grew up. So it's a symbol of the Eucharist that the priest is celebrating. Now, a priest normally will not wear this outside of the church. You won't see me in the parking lot in this unless I'm blessing a car or something, or in the hall, because when I wear this, it's a symbol that Christ is present. I've taken on the role of Christ in a unique way for your sake. You won't see me wearing it at Safeway either. You will see me in the slowest line there, so please do not get behind me. The chasuble has a really interesting history. If you've been in my class, you've heard this, but it's shaped like a Roman toga, and that's exactly where it comes from. So in the early church, people would come and they dressed in their best, and this is basically what it looked like. They either come round or squared off at the corners. Some of them, as the church styles changed, the priest continued to wear this, and I still wear it today. It's a symbol of where the church is from. And prior to Vatican II, you would see oftentimes really ornate chasubles. Oftentimes they were extremely heavy and very thick. This is why you needed the maniple, I think. Some of them were called fiddlebacks. You may not recognize the name, but in the back, they would go in at the shoulders like a fiddle, and they'd be tied on the sides. You still see these in Europe a lot. When we went to Eastern Europe and Hungary, I celebrated Mass at St. Stephen's Cathedral, which is the oldest cathedral in Budapest. They gave me an old fiddleback chasuble to wear. It was so heavy. It felt heavier than one of those lead aprons they put on when they're doing an dental x-ray, you know. It was just, I came out like an old man, you know. Whatever the style is, it's a symbol of Christ's presence. And you know, the most moving service really that I do as a priest is on Holy Thursday. Next year, if you have not been, you should ought to try to go. It's a unique Mass. And one of the things that the priest does there is he symbolically takes off the chasuble during Mass. And what that symbolizes is Christ stripping off his dignity in order to wash the feet of the disciples who had just been arguing about who is first and who is second. And Christ said, you know what? I'm first, but I'm making myself last for you, and this is what you should imitate. And I've always found it very profound, long before I became a priest, of that action of removing the chasuble and then tying the apron and washing the feet of the parishioners. It's a symbol that I'm here to serve, not to lord my authority over someone. This is true for all of our lives. This is the same model that you will use in your own life with your own family and with your own work, whether you're in authority or not. The prayer that goes with the chasuble says, O Lord, who have said, my yoke is sweet and my burden is light, so grant that I may carry this so as to receive your grace. O Lord, who has said, my yoke is sweet and my burden light.
My yoke is sweet and my burden light.
Grant that I may carry it,
grant that I may carry
so as to receive your grace.